I'd like to introduce the services this morning by doing something I shouldn't do, and that is take a verse out of its context. And I invite your attention to Matthew 24, and we'll read just one verse. As I want to share with you just a few things regarding a particular man in the Bible who Jesus will make mention of. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. And then in brackets, Matthew says this, whosoever readeth, let him understand. One of the most fascinating books in the Bible is a book named after the man Daniel himself. And Daniel is a widely attacked book within the circles of liberal Christian theologians. Now, I use that word carefully. I don't use it politically speaking. I don't use it progressively speaking. I use it in a framework of skeptical and anti-authoritative. Because when you go to the more modern liberal Christian schools of thinking, they center on two Old Testament books in particular and their attacks and their critical skepticism of these two books. The first book is Isaiah and the other book is Daniel. Because both these books are very prophetic. Very prophetic. And so they attack those books. And Daniel's attacked because not only is it a tremendous historical book, when you read the book of Daniel, it's a great history book, but it's a prophetic book. In particular, prophecies in the book of Daniel speak in specific language of the coming of the Messiah. That's why it's under attack. But I was fascinated several years ago in a study on the book of Daniel that I presented before the Columbia Church on several consecutive Sundays. And I was never so captivated by this particular man. From start to finish, Daniel displayed a tremendous character, a tremendous desire to live in a time that he was so chosen for, to give God all the glory. And when I think about Daniel, and I think about how I could present it for you in just a few minutes this morning, I think of three main things. I think of his captivity, I think of his character, and I think of his being chosen of God for his time. When I think about those three things, I think about how that it could apply to each one of us today. You know, we live in a particular period of time that calls us, you know, some of us have difficulty in which way to walk, which way to follow, whose influence bears more on us at any one particular time. America's changing. We feel like we're losing the good old days that we were brought up as a young child. Well, how should we then live? I mean, by whose compass are we following? Which direction are we going? I can only imagine that Daniel faced these kind of questions and ambivalence in his own life. In the first place, he was taken captive. He wasn't a free man. Now, you and I enjoy freedom. You know, one of the unique characteristics of people outside the United States and the not-so-much middle class. I mean, there in many countries of the world, the middle class doesn't exist. And it's marked by this one particular characteristic. They have no money. They have no money. Absolutely no money. They live day to day without the kind of money that you and I are accustomed to having. I mean, even when we're broke, we can find ways to get money in this country. But that's not the case in third world countries. People are poor. I remember the time when the Russian couple came here and preached at Columbia. And we took them, my sons and I, took them to Washington during the day. And at the very end of the day, we went out to eat. And Olga, Sister Olga, I was humbled because we went to Cracker Barrel. And, you know, whatever she wanted, I wanted to pay for. And I was privileged to pay for her very first steak that she ever ate in her life. You know, we didn't go to Applebee's and get a nice ribeye. We went to Cracker Barrel. We don't understand as Americans the deprivation that people have to undergo in their experiences. Daniel was captive. We're all captive. We need to be mindful in our freedoms and our liberties that we have in this great nation that God has blessed us with. We need to remember that we're really not free. Now, there's a scripture in the New Testament that speaks of our being led captive. He led captivity captive out of the book of Ephesians chapter 4. In other words, we have been led from sin's bondage to the freedom in Christ, but now we're under law to Christ. I don't want you to think of your life as totally free and irresponsible. Your life is dependent upon the law of Christ. You're to be obedient unto the law of Christ. We're not free in that sense. We're not free. But anyway, Daniel was captive. Now think of this for a minute. He was taken when he was a young man, when he lived in Judah, and he was taken to Babylon according to the prophecy that God pronounced, having pronounced judgment upon his people, and they were taken captive into the land of Babylon. Daniel was one of those captives. As a young man, he went to serve in the very courts of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, or the king of Babylon at that time. And that to me is amazing. One of his peers, whose name was Ezekiel, was also a prophet of God. But old Ezekiel, he was over here picking cotton over here at Crosby in Texas, while Daniel was in the courtroom of the White House, okay? They didn't know one another. They knew of each other because Ezekiel writes of Daniel and says something in regards to Daniel that places him in a very high esteem. He was very wise. Jesus here in this 24th chapter makes mention of Daniel and says that whosoever readeth, let him understand. So let us be wise to the things that Daniel said, because what he says is remarkable. And I would encourage you all to get some time set aside in your home and just read the book of Daniel and get from it what you can, and may the Lord bless you in your understanding of it. But Daniel was not only a captive in the sense that he was not free, but he was also a man of great godly character. How should you live in this world? You should live in bondage to Christ. You should also live within a character that is godly and like Christ. Now that's not saying that God's looking for people that have never sinned before in their life. You need to understand that God calls on you, though you a sinner be, He calls on people like you to demonstrate the powerful effect of Jesus' life in your life. And that's how you can live day to day, even though you stumble and you falter, and you're frail and you're incomplete, unqualified, and undeserving in the least of His blessings. All that in a nutshell would probably leave us pretty a boring person, you know, outside of the wonderful love of Christ. In other words, you don't have an excuse here this morning not to serve God. Don't look at your sins that you have committed as a reason not to serve God, because God's provided for you an avenue whereby those sins have been wiped clear. Now, you could be the worst of worst. You could be, having sinned a great sin, or you could be a kind of person that through the lifetime of your experiences have collected quite a few sins. And should God mark those iniquities, who shall stand? So what I'm saying is that you can live a godly character. Now, Daniel was an exception. There's no doubt about it. He was a godly man. God had given him tremendous grace to stand for His glory. And you can read throughout the book of Daniel various times, you know, like, for instance, the den of lions. Remember the various images that Daniel had to interpret, some dreams that he had to interpret. He was a vessel, if you will, chosen by God for his time. And that leads me to the last fact. Not only was he captive, godly character, but also a chosen vessel. He was used by God. He was used by God in a particular period of time where he gave witness to the Father. He gave witness to the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, in the light of all the paganism that he was surrounded by. That's remarkable. I mean, we get buffeted day and night by paganism, hedonism, materialism, pantheism, whatever ism is out there, we get full-fledged coverage. Question is, how do Christians live? We live in the truth. We live in the truth. And that's the key word, I think, in Daniel's life. How do we live like he did? We live with our eyes fastened to the truth of God. No matter what situation we may find ourselves in, Daniel always reflected upon the truth. And I might say this, at what point do we stop serving God and the truth? At what point? Was there a point in Daniel's life? Well, you could make some arguments as to the possibility of that happening, but it didn't happen, because whenever the truth of God was trumped against a particular king's law, if that law violated God's command, you can be assured that Daniel served his God. In other words, when the laws of man violate the laws of God, we are obligated as Christians to serve God and the truth, regardless of the outcome. But having said that, as we look in the life of Daniel, while Daniel stood, remember they told him not to pray, and he prayed three times a day, looked toward Jerusalem. He was caught in the very act. He was guilty of praying to God. Well, when we violate man's laws for the sake of God's truth, God preserved Daniel and used Daniel and brought glory to his name. I think that's fascinating. Daniel was chosen to serve God. Somebody says, yeah, I wish I was so chosen, but I'm not young anymore. I don't have any more strength. I mean, I don't have any physical talents. Well, let's do the math. Daniel went to captivity in Babylon when he was a young man, probably 20, let's say. He was used in the courts, most likely as a eunuch, which tells you a lot right there, the kind of life that he lived. He didn't live the kind of life you lived and you want to live. He lived a life dedicated to his God, regardless of the limitations placed on him by man. I mean, if anybody had a reason to say, oh boy, look what this has got me, I'm not going to do nothing, it's Daniel. But he served God. But listen, let's do the math. He's a young man when he goes into captivity. Some 70 years later, because he's reading the book of Jeremiah. And in his great prayer, I think that's in Daniel chapter 9, just a few minutes. He's putting this together. He says, you know, it's been about 70 years since we came out of Judah. And now we're in seven. It's about time for God to deliver us and send us home. And Daniel knew that. So that would put Daniel at about 90 years old when God's using him in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar. So there's no excuse for us in either way not to serve the Lord in our day. May the Lord bless you. Brother Steve.